All right, welcome back to Fast Break Breakfast. This is part two of our season preview, the over-unders for the Western Conference. We got Chuck, John, and I am Keith. We're all here, ready to give you our predictions on the upcoming NBA season. But before we dive into the Western Conference, we're going to debut a new segment here that we like to call A Scorned Heat Fan Texts a Friend. Let's take us back to July 11th, 2014, 11 a.m. Central Time.
Flabbergasted. Completely shocked. There's no other word to use.
I tried to prepare you.
It still doesn't make sense.
And there you have it. A scorned Heat fan. Texts a friend.
Actual texts from Chuck to me.
Those took me there. I remember where I was, but I feel bad for you. I still feel bad for you.
It's like reliving childhood sexual abuse.
Huh.
Let's jump into the over-unders.
We shall begin with the Denver Nuggets. Vegas set it at 40.5. Chuck, since you're in recovery, I'll let Keith go first.
Mm-hmm. All right. 40.5 seems like a great number. I think they will win exactly 40.5 games. No, damn. I have the under. The West is too tough. I like, they got a great built-in home court advantage. They have a strong roster from top to bottom. They don't have any real superstars. I got them at 39. I'm going under.
Chuckles?
I think the under's safe here. The West is far better than it was, I think, last year. Short of Houston being... less than, I think, top to bottom.
Yeah.
I think the West is better. So, yeah, they're gonna have a tough time.
I agree. I only have them chipping in a paltry 36 wins.
Oh.
I really don't like this team. I don't like their coach. I don't like what they've done in the offseason. I don't think Danilo Gallinari is a thing. Aaron Aflalo is an addition that, to me, that's an upgrade at defense. But I actually think that their combination of guards they had last year were better on offense, and they get wins out of their out of the altitude, mm-hmm. and out of preparing at that altitude. But I don't expect them to even match last year's wins, which were 36.
Okay, so you have a problem with their coach Brian Shaw, former Heat superstar.
Right.
I just need to let you know Brian Shaw. Did, and this is public record, he had sex with Madonna. So whatever you want to say about Brian Shaw and the coaching ability, it's overshadowed by the fact he had sex with the biggest sexual maven in the history of
She did have a book called music. Sex, I believe.
He did.
But you know who else had sex with Madonna? Dennis Rodman.
Big Daddy Kane.
I was
Warren Beatty. Warren Beatty.
I mean Sean Penn, but yeah. I mean let's not count.
Sean Penn face, similar to De Niro face.
My favorite storyline for the Denver Nuggets is how does JaVale McGee respond to being third string center now? So that's going to be good.
I'm just glad Brian Shaw's kind of shaking off this hating Kenneth Faried thing.
Oh.
I mean that was very bizarre to me.
He's my favorite player.
He's my second favorite player.
He's my favorite
Faried?
Player. Yeah.
Really?
To watch play. He's okay. Just so much fun to watch.
No, agreed.
He's not exciting. I mean, he isn't like a Steph Curry or a Durant where you just go, he's
I don't
off.
Even know if he helps your team.
No, but he's just fun to
it's
watch.
It's a fair point.
I don't even know if he's a player that helps you as a franchise.
If he had short hair, would you feel the same way?
Well, there's a whole thing about Kenneth Faried in that he resembles the action film nemesis, the Predator.
Yeah.
And not like every other guy with long hair. He has the same musculature. And he is also one ugly mother face.
Very good. Who do we have next?
We have the Minnesota Timberwolves. Vegas has set an over-under of 25.5 games.
Oh,
Chucks, you go first.
I like Minnesota's team. I believe in Flip Saunders. No, I don't. I think he's terrible. I like their team and still think they'll win 25 games in the West. I like their team.
I concur. I have them winning 33 games, and a lot of it has to do, believe it or not, with Flip Saunders. I know he's not the greatest coach under the sun, but I actually think that That was a fairly disgruntled and unhappy team last year. I think Kevin Love is a bad player as an alpha dog. I think having Ricky Rubio kind of run the show and distribute to the sundry players they have, although I'm not saying Anthony Bennett or even Andrew Wiggins are going to be some sort of game-changing player, but that's a scrappy team. That's a team where Flip Saunders knows what he's got. He got the most he could for Love. And I think, you know, I think 25 is – that's a little egregious as far as really cashing out on them.
I think a lot of the over-under is based on just how tough their schedule is going to be and how they're worse
really
than almost everyone they play.
Right.
I pegged them at 26 wins, so right at what Vegas has. So I guess a begrudging over.
Yeah.
But very nervous about it. The roster has a lot – has a collection of talent – but I don't understand how it fits together.
If they start Pekovic all year and don't unleash Gorgui Dieng, I think that could be a problem. But I think Gorgui Dieng will play, and I think he will play well.
I think you're looking at a very athletic team that has promise. I don't think Flip Saunders has the ability or the track record to show taking young talent and making them great. He has the ability to take great talent, young, older veteran players and making them decent.
I think there's a lot of problems where people are looking at this team and wondering where the scoring is coming from. That's not how you need to look at the Timberwolves if you think they'll be good. If you think they're going to be bad, then that's certainly a cogent way of looking. But if they sit Pekovic and they start Gorgui Dieng, they have plus defenders at every position.
I agree.
And there's not a lot of teams that
can say that. Of course, you're not counting Kevin Martin being part of that. One of those positions.
Wiggins is starting over him at this point.
What team does Kevin Martin or Pekovic end
Chase
up?
Chase Budinger.
Or Chase Budinger.
Budinger's going to be a Grizz.
One of those guys is going to end up
at least one.
Part of the Keith Bogans trade
the
exception.
Keith, the Keith Bogans exception. Yeah,
that's it.
Very nice.
Well, I think we're unanimous overs. Look at chat. Thunder, this is an interesting one. Oklahoma City Thunder. Before Kevin Durant's injury, it was 57.5. We're going to use the post Kevin Durant injury under, which would be 53.5 games. Keith, hit me.
What do we have?
53.5.
Once again, I have them for 54.
Over.
Daddy. That's an over. I have a lot of faith in the madman Russell Westbrook. I think
even after last night.
Well, these
2 points in the fourth quarter.
These are preseason picks. But last night he clearly ran out of gas,
big time. Hard to watch.
It's going to be hard for him to figure out how he has to pace himself. And also, I will say that everything Oklahoma City did in the last offseason, egregious.
Yeah.
Turning 2 first-round picks into literally nothing.
Mitch McGarry is a monster. Okay. Here's my biggest problem.
A guy who I don't know because he missed a whole college year you draft him. That's crazy.
He's a great player in college, but he's starting in the D League. That's bad.
I think their biggest loss is going to obviously be Hashim Thabeet and the fact that they lost.
Can we
him.
Pour one out for
poor
our boy Thabeet?
let's pour one out on that creepy spot on his head. That's where I'd like to pour it out.
Now,
so you over or under there, Chuck?
No, Anthony Morrow. He looks like JB Smooth. So I'm with him.
Are playing a collection of guys who have no NBA experience or credibility.
I went way under. I went 49. I think this is a franchise. You can't call them in free fall because they have too much talent, but they're making all the wrong moves. I think Scotty Brooks is a bottom five coach. Bottom five. They say Steven Adams is starting, yet I saw a whole lot of perk. Andre Roberson and Lance Thomas aren't going to fill the gap for Durant. I don't even really like – maybe when Reggie Jackson comes back, we'll see some sort of a more balanced scoring thing. But there's just not a lot of – there's not a lot of pieces there that form an offense or a defense.
One thought to that, you realize 49 wins last year in the Western Conference misses.
Right.
Phoenix didn't make it.
So, I mean, so you think...
I am taking the Durant comes back and is either not the same or doesn't come back as soon as we think.
So you your prediction is going to be the Thunder will be fighting to make the playoffs.
Yes, but I do have 49 wins getting them in.
That's exciting. No, that's exciting.
I think this is I don't think there are as many wins to go around. If you listen to our Eastern Conference over-unders, 58 was as high as I got. 58 is as high as I got on either conference.
Sure.
So 49, is safely in the playoffs in my purview. Right. However, I think Scotty Brooks, I think this team may start to fall apart. I really do.
They are.
And I don't think Russell Westbrook is, I hate to use terms like leader and like that, but I think with Durant gone, this team has a real chance to free fall.
Okay, here's, we'll step away from reality and go into what if land, okay? Let's say the Oklahoma City front office didn't overthink and outthink themselves, and they actually kept, you know, Jeff Green and James Harden. What kind of small ball terrorizing team is that with just those guys on a base level last year? Now, they would all have to have been re-signed.
And then you cut out Perk. I mean Perk's,
it's where the
gone.
League's gone.
Perkins
great.
Is a net yeah. negative.
Addition by subtraction. Right. Perkins is gone.
So
this is one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah, you want to hear Sam Presti and all this stuff about that team's front office doing all
this
stuff.
Sam Presti's a fraud.
They have really thought themselves out of contention.
There's no doubt that the guy can draft, although he really threw that into the abyss this time. But
I believe he elected just not to.
So yeah, basically.
Do we even count that against him for electing not to bring any players to his team?
Can
with two
we
draft
wait?
Picks?
Wait, guys, do you guys remember Perry Jones? I mean, if you guys want to remember.
Oh, you mean
starter the Perry Jones?
Perry Jones. Perry Jones three.
The third.
Oh yeah, yeah. Three. No, I'm aware of him.
Okay, so yeah, they've swung and missed in the after having probably historically great draft picks for about 3 years.
No question.
Historically great. They lucked into Durant because if they would have won one, they would have took Odin like every other team in the league. But they lucked into the greatest offensive scorer since whatever.
Jordan.
I mean, a top to bottom offensive player. And you have Russell Westbrook fell into their lap.
Yeah.
Harden was the same, and Ibaka was this huge steal.
I'm not besmirching Russell Westbrook. He's a top 10 NBA player.
I agree.
But after that,
can he carry?
What the hell do you do? I mean, they're going to need phenomenal contributions from Reggie Jackson to make this work.
And we've seen people thought when Westbrook went down a couple years ago that Ibaka would step up scoring-wise, and he actually showed he didn't really have the capability. Like,
He's not a scorer.
He scores 15 or 16 no matter who plays.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's a great player, but he can't fill that void.
I don't think Ibaka's broken 30 points in a game. I don't think I'd be shocked if he broke 25, honestly. It's just not that type of team. I think this Durant absence is really going to be nasty. And I think we saw it last night. Westbrook came out as fiery as he could, 38 points. Only two in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Right.
Two. And, I mean, he is having to contribute so much on both sides of the floor. And he really shut down Dame Lillard. He really shut him down. Dame Lillard didn't score till the third.
Yep. Yeah.
But that's a whole lot of energy. They're going to need him to if he does this, if he pulls this off, and they're another 50-plus win team, I think Westbrook has to be in the MVP conversation.
Yep, I agree.
I think he's going to be, but still, it's going to be tough.
What did you say, Chuck? You were under, over?
I was under.
Hey. Here's another interesting one. Portland Trailblazers, the very hot team from the beginning of last year, only at 48.5 wins, says Vegas. Keith, what do you have?
That's a surprise. I'm surprised to hear. I guess that's about right. I have them at 50 wins, so I'll take the over. I guess the Vegas adjustment is based on their tepid finish to the season after starting off really hot. I think the roster, in my mind, they've gone as far as they can go. I think Damian Lillard's a great offensive player. He's very below average defensive player.
Horrific.
Yeah, his opponent will normally just torch him, and so he ends up with a bunch of points, but he gets torched.
They do always move him to the worst
offensive player. It's true.
Wesley Matthews picks up the slack.
I mean, they have a great starting lineup. Their bench is okay, but I think this collection of talent, it's where you hit in the NBA. What do you do when you've maxed out your talent? You've pretty much gotten, like, you have a strong everything, and you're like, yeah, our best case scenario was last year, which is second round in my mind.
Well, I think when you bring in Chris Kaman, you're talking about...
You're making jokes. I think this is a big move.
Yeah.
They were rolling with Joel Freeland last year.
I know.
Joel Freeland is horrible.
Horrible.
And this is Chris Kaman's a guy who took a nap on the Lakers bench last year. And
with a smooth shot over 50%.
He was disgruntled.
And
when he finally got starter minutes, he produced.
I don't believe
you finish your story.
I don't believe in Chris Kaman. If that's your best off-season acquisition, You've done poorly.
Chris came in believer. Somebody cheers me.
No.
I
will not give you any of that.
I am trying so hard to get a cheers.
No, and he's being left. Oh. Keith's only being a nice person. No one believes in Chris Kamen since 2009.
I believe.
And like, look, that's the bottom line. Is like you had a team who maxed out. And
so you're under.
They're the same. Yeah, they're the same team in my mind.
They're under.
Okay, after all my Chris came in Drang and Sturm, I have Blazers winning 48 for an under.
Right, talking all that.
So I just kind of
Sturm and Drang.
Yeah, there it is.
Strom Thurmond.
Yeah. Can I not say Drang and Sturm?
I don't know.
Come on now, come on. Middle Tennessee State University.
Nice.
So I'm sorry. What was your win total for Portland, John?
48. So I am just under.
Just under. Okay.
I think they nailed it.
I think they'll get 49
wins. No, they're a good team.
They'll be over at 49.
54 is too much. They can't do that again.
They're not going to do that.
There was a lot of luck involved. They caught a lot of teams.
And a lot of Dame Lillard last second threes.
They were on fire the whole first part of the year.
And Aldridge hit a million game-winning shots. That was a magical year.
I think when you base your offense on a 20-foot jump shot, that's your greatest shot, and that's what it is. Their whole offense is based on LaMarcus Aldridge hitting that 20-footer. You're not going to be able to
the sustain. Only person who believes that works is Byron Scott.
I would.
Well, he better. He's got Kobe.
If we could get some Portland fans to tweet at us, we're fast break. I will say last year, I wonder what it was like. I was very happy that they ended up pulling out that series against Houston. I felt good for them because after such a hot start last year,
in my mind,
they fell apart and they had a collection of some of the most excruciating losses where they collapsed and lost on buzzer beaters. It seemed like at least once a week. I think it was a tough year to be a Blazers fan, even though it ended up great. So that being said,
not a worse year than 1983.
All right.
Heard that, Sam Bowie. Y'all. What? Next up, we have the Utah Jazz, the over-under of 25.5. Chuckle Hut, what you got for me?
I'm going to go over, and I like their team. Quinn Snyder's a great coach. You're looking at, Trey Burke, Alex Burks getting another year. You have a solid front court, Cantor, and whatever, those other guys.
Come on, Rudy Gobert.
Favors and Rudy
Trevor
Gobert.
Booker. Yeah. Derek Favors.
Yeah, Derek Favors is great.
You know what? You leaving out Gordon Hayward is f***ing racist.
Now here's the thing. I don't like white people in general, especially on the basketball court. No, I think they probably overspent on Gordon Hayward, but they did a decent job keeping that team together. And I'm concerned, continuity plays a big deal in winning more and more
games.
Tell
me more about the importance of keeping a bad team together.
Well, they were a bad team in a great conference. And when I think continuity has, if the Spurs have taught us anything, is that when you keep a team together, you build on wins just by the fact of having a decent coach and keeping a team together. I really believe that.
Keith, are you over or under?
That is there's no wins. That's 25 wins.
25 wins.
That is a terrible, terrible team.
Give me the under.
Okay.
I don't, if you heard in part one, I believe Chuck was arguing that you can't say someone's a good coach without NBA experience. And I don't know what Quinn Snyder's done. I like his hair.
Mizzou, baby.
Beautiful hair.
So
he's got like 3 DUIs or something.
So Utah last year won.
Not going to be an issue in Utah.
26? Who has our stats? The last year they
25
won
25 wins.
They won 25.
So you think they're going to be worse?
I think they're going to be worse. They lost two role players.
Do you remember Ty Corbin?
That's
argument. That's my argument.
It's a good argument. Tyron Corbin, by all accounts,
I have him winning 28 games. That's
terrible.
2.5 games better than the over.
I don't see on this team who's good. I like Alex Burks. I think he's fun. Cantor and Favors seem fine. Trey Burke is maybe a backup. Gordon Hayward is a good player, but he's their de facto go-to. Dante Exum maybe.
I like Dante Exum.
Has no conditioning. He seems.
I like Australians.
I'm just saying.
I hate Australians. I just lie.
I don't know who's going to score. Everyone says that Quinn Snyder is going to have him bombing threes. I don't
know. Enos Kanter from way downtown.
I don't
know
who on that team can hit three-pointers at an acceptable rate. I think this team is going to be very bad.
Here's why you're wrong.
I could easily be wrong. Tell me why I'm wrong.
It's over, and it's because Ty Corbin is terrible and they will win.
He's one of those coaches we were talking about who can detract from.
He's worth five losses.
Right.
And they won 25 last year. They're going to be better. We're moving on to a very interesting team. Very interesting. My lock of the season, pick this before the season began, Los Angeles Lakers, 31.5 games. I'm going to start. This is an under. I have this team winning 18 games, second worst team in the NBA. That's before I saw them lose horribly to a terrible Rockets team that I think is going to be down. Byron Scott's a joke. This team is tanking. Everyone knows it except for one man, Kobe Bean Bryant.
Beanie.
Chuck, how you got it?
I hate the Los Angeles Lakers as a staff labeling my crew. They're
31.5 over under.
Far under. They may win 22 games, maybe.
I have put my money where my mouth is. I have $1,000.
I mean, and this is kind of hedging things because we just saw their prized rookie out for the year.
They're now, get any worse.
Yeah, when this I texted John this the other night. I said, it's looking like Ed Davis might be one of the only double-digit players other than Kobe Bryant.
Special Ed.
Which it's to me, I love Ed Davis. I think he's a great player. You're looking at a terrible, horrible squad if that's the case.
I will make a note. If you don't know, John was not being insensitive with his Special Ed. As Grizzly fans, we know that his nickname on the Grizzlies, some of the players called him Special Ed.
Keith, you over or under?
I tell you, this is the best news I've gotten. If you listen to the first part of our podcast, I didn't look at these over-unders beforehand. I was pretty sure I was over because I thought the Lakers were going to be frisky. I thought Ed Davis, Jordan Hill, those guys would be grabbing all of Kobe's three-point bricks and getting layups. I think they have some weird wing players where like sometimes they're on, and I hate the Lakers like most people, and they find ways to win sometimes. So I penciled them in at 31 wins. Oh. I am thrilled to find out that is the under after seeing poor Julius Randle go down with injury. So I do have the under, just barely.
There's going to be a lot of revisionist history on D'Antoni winning all those games last year. Mike D'Antoni's probably a better coach than we thought. After that ignominious end he came to, he actually did pretty well with that.
I don't know if it's last year D'Antoni made Xavier Henry look somewhat competent.
Wesley Johnson. Decent.
And it's a very small sample size, but so far on the early season, two games in, or we one game in.
Who's the other guy?
Sorry.
Kendrick? Kendrick's? Who's the other player for?
No, this will stay in.
No, the...
for who? For the Lakers?
For the Lakers. The guard.
Kendall Marshall. Kendall Marshall's gone. He was terrible.
Hey, he'll
but
play
anyway,
in this league.
Xavier Henry looked unbelievably
bad. Let me tell you how much I care about
the
Lakers. I don't even know any of their players. I could name 10 players on the Lakers.
We have gone under.
So we're all under.
Okay.
That brings us to a much more interesting team to discuss. Golden State Warriors, 50.5 wins. What have you?
50.5 seems low.
Keith, you're going over then.
So, I mean, I have them at 52, and I felt that was kind of a reserved.
I also have them at 52.
I have 52 wins. I love their starting lineup. I think a lot of people out there who wish Draymond Green would play more than David Lee.
I think it's happening slowly.
I think if Sean Livingston gets healthy,
huge pickup. Sean Livingston, underrated
basketball
player.
That could be a huge pickup. And also, I think the stat everyone cites for last year. They were a confusing or mind-boggling that they were middle of the pack as an offensive team when they should be amazing.
Mark Jackson effect.
So
this is where we go back to the coaches.
Yeah.
I really think, and this is based on zero track record, because again, we're going back to a coach with no experience.
But some front office experience.
Front office experience, whatever that means. It doesn't mean he's put together a roster.
He assembled a roster.
Well, that has, I've listened to him comment on games, and he seems to be knowledgeable and understands the flow and
which
movement.
Is the exact opposite of when Mark Jackson commented on games.
Mark Jackson has no idea what's going on in a basketball court.
It's so confusing.
So I know Sean Livingston's was probably their biggest signing. Mm-hmm. I think their sneaky good signing was Brandon Rush, because he is a very decent long range shooter.
He can shoot,
and he can play average defense, and in that offense, when you're trying to plug holes in that starting five. If you need the guy that'll come in and play the Klay Thompson role while Klay Thompson is above average defender, I think Brandon Rush, while he isn't as good as a defender as Klay or shooter as Klay, he can
spell him. You have right. a second unit now.
I think you have a decent and Barbosa. Now Barbosa played in the Canary Islands last year. But
then, if I believed Bogut could stay healthy, I think this is a big time winning team.
Yeah,
I'm worried about that. I do think Bogut's kind of the fulcrum of this offense now. Believe it or not, because Mark Jackson prescribed to the just never ever pass ever. Like he didn't. That was one of the least pass friendly offenses I've ever seen. Especially considering the man was a point guard in the NBA. Now I think you're going to see ball movement. David Lee's an amazing passer. Draymond Green's an amazing passer. Andrew Bogut's an amazing passer. Iguodala's an amazing passer. And Steph Curry are amazing passers. We're going to see a lot more movement. The reason I only have them a little bit over, and did you say over or under, Chuck?
I said over. I think they'll be a great
We're unanimous. The reason I only went a little bit over and didn't bet any money on this is I think the injury factor is real.
It's true.
Steph Curry has very wonky ankles. David Lee is prone to injury. Andrew Bogut's beyond injury prone.
We're all
and they're not deep.
We're always a hair's breadth away from Festus Ezeli backlining Vanderbilt's own.
Chuck wanted that
Uncle Fester.
Yeah.
Festus is a bad player.
I will like to shout out Festus Ezeli for giving me a selfie in Vegas this summer.
No way.
Even though John Jenkins wanted none of it.
John Jenkins. Up next, we have the almighty 55.5 win over under set by Vegas, Los Angeles Clippers, my least favorite team in the entire league. I'm going to lead off with a big stinking over, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I've got them at 58 wins. I think this team, as much as I hate to admit it, Blake Griffin has taken that monster leap that puts him sort of – I think he was an MVP candidate last year. I don't know where he finished, but he's a great player. I mean, they're just a really quality team. And I think, as much as I hate to admit this, that Doc Rivers is the right coach for them. And I think they probably are the team to beat in the West.
Yeah, I also, as a Grizzlies homer, also hate the Clippers. But I'm in agreement. I have them at 56 wins. I have them on the over. But now for some backhanded compliments. I have the over, but that's because this team is perfectly constructed for the NBA regular season. They are going to run up and down on some folks. They're going to score a bunch of points. They're going to have a bunch of 20-point wins on TNT. Everybody at ESPN is going to have them at the power pole at the top. Blake's going to get a lot of love for MVP. Chris Paul, if he plays all the games, will get a lot of attention. And again, those guys are awesome players.
It's still a two-man team.
Two-man team. When you get to the NBA, I mean, the playoffs, it slows down.
I'm just sick of people disrespecting Hedo Turkoglu like that.
Yeah. And Big Baby. Mm-hmm. Big Baby is going to have his...
Ekpe Udo. Mm-hmm.
I don't see how they can stop the good teams. They have no wing defenders.
Douglas Roberts...
CDR
bringing back the high waisted shorts.
My car still won't play CDRs.
No,
they my won't. Stereo still just won't play refuse. Those damn things. So and neither will Doc Rivers.
Their lack of interior defense. Even though DeAndre Jordan will infuriatingly get like talked about for Defensive Player of the Year, even though he cannot guard his man.
That's all spin.
Yeah, but I mean, it's crazy. I don't think they can stop teams in the playoffs.
Mainstream media.
But regular season, yeah, they're going to win a bunch of games. They're very good. They're going to score
West
a ton of
Coast
points.
Bias.
Chuck, next you one.
Chuck. No, no, Chuck.
Over. Who cares?
Who cares? Over. Love it.
Yeah, they're going to be in the probably, you know, Western Conference Finals. I don't care what they win.
I think they'll win the most games. I think they'll probably flame out in the semis.
As far as I'm concerned, playoffs – predictions have to do a lot with being scorned, and having a team be scorned over and over again leads to positive outcomes going forward. So I don't know if that makes sense to anyone. But
scorned, what do you mean?
So like the Clippers have lost year after year.
Okay.
They've been burnt. Yeah. And I think that builds this resolve to get to that next round. And I think they make it to the Western Conference Finals.
It's possible.
It might be the IPA.
It really is their minimum goal. IPA for breakfast.
Next, we have those Phoenix Suns. 42.5 says Vegas. Over or under, Chuck?
I don't know, man.
It's a tough one. It's one of the hardest ones, I think.
This is where you're at. You're going to either say Phoenix overproduced last year.
Great.
Right? Or they, you know, or they were overrated. It's hard to tell. I think Phoenix is that one wild team that isn't going to be able to tell you. But, yeah, I think overall, I think they'll win 46 games. I'm going to go over and give you a solid over on that.
Can I still put money in on the – I know the season has officially started, but what do they have, 42 and a half?
Yeah.
I think they're going to go way over.
They haven't played.
No, they won last night. They killed the Lakers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yes.
I think they go way over. I wrote them down at 51. I think there's a natural fear of regression because
we know who they are now.
We know who they are. We know they're not bad, so everyone's, you know, all that. And then Dragic played amazing. Gerald Green played amazing. And there's a lot of people who don't think we can it's a repeatable what they did. And the loss of Channing Frye.
Whatever.
I mean, floor spacing is fine, but I think
Markieff Morris and Anthony Tolliver can do that.
I'm in agreement there, and even though I've read a lot of people don't feel that way. Also, last year they had a giant hole at backup point guard. Even though they had Bledsoe and Dragic, had Ish Smith playing a ton.
And Gerald. Now they're going to have not only Gerald Green, who's kind of a Vinny Microwave Johnson guy. They've also got Isaiah Thomas, who's a great scorer.
I love the T.J. Warren again. I don't watch college, but I watched him this summer. He looks really good. Like he's a good
T.J. Warren was a great college.
I think
player.
That was a guy that I think the Suns were a team that kind of got messed up in the whole lottery deal. Because I really thought they were going to get better picks than they were going to get because they had all those they weren't protected, lottery protected picks, but they got 14 and 18 in the draft. They get Ennis. Mm-hmm. They get, I think, T.J. Warren.
Yeah.
And, I think they're going to be over, but
I think Hornacek knows what he has. They didn't make those moves, which were baffling to some.
Yeah.
But they didn't make those moves.
They have two Dragics.
That is true. Goran and Zoran, almost as good as Lance and Lance Stevenson.
Right. So I'm not going to bet on any team with two brothers. Actually, four brothers.
Yeah, they have a pair.
They have a pair of brothers.
Two of which are twins.
Right.
So. I will tell. All right. I haven't done this much. I will tell one story from NBA Vegas Summer League. Went to MGM Grand, and I was in pretty much the whole time at Vegas when the basketball wasn't happening. I was going to casinos looking for NBA players. And at the craps table was either Marcus or Markieff. And I'd never seen one without the other before. So I saw him there, and then I walked a little down looking for more guys. I came back, and it was either the other one, because there was another twin at the same table wearing a different outfit. So I saw them both, was very excited, but I didn't know which one was which. So.
And with that, as I believe we trifecta over? All three of us?
I really like the Phoenix Suns. I think Jeff Hornacek is
I have them winning 48 games. Yeah. I think Hornacek's a great coach. They knew what they were doing. Alex Len is yet to emerge, but maybe that'll happen.
He's going to keep breaking his finger every other week, which he's done for his whole career.
This brings us to the Sacramento Kings. 30.5 over-under, says Vegas. What say you, Keith Parrish?
I like the over. I have them at 32. I think they are a lock for 32 and 50 every year. and I don't see any reason. I feel like they have
they could be 31. And
I'm excited about Nick Stauskas. Rudy Gay had a good second half of the year last year. They're not going to sniff the playoffs. Boogie Cousins is a good player. Yeah, 32 and 50 seems like it's written all over them.
I will go on record as saying this is my least favorite roster in the NBA. And that includes the 76ers because I can't even laugh at this one because it's a waste of Boogie Cousins.
Yeah.
I have him winning 27 games. I think Isaiah Thomas got pushed out because Boogie was pissed about not getting enough touches and him taking too many shots. I don't like their starting lineup at all. Rudy Gay is one of my all-time least favorite NBA players to watch.
Grizzly fan.
Darren Collison's rough to watch. That McLemore-Stauskas-Gunner duo is not going to be anything at the two spot. Power forward's a mess of Jason Thompson, Carl Landry, and Reggie Evans, Ryan.
At least Boogie gets to play. Carl Landry.
God,
that guy's being wasted.
Carl Landry.
Carl Landry's wasted on that team.
What a
Boogie is like
team
they,
to be on.
They are a Boogie injury from like 9 wins.
No, they could be the worst team in the history of the NBA.
That is just a roster with a coach. And I'm stunned by your projection. Stunned.
I will say, I think they have, like last year, the Suns came out of nowhere and greatly exceeded all expectations. I think it wouldn't surprise me if this team goes 20-62, but I think Ramon Sessions is a good pick and roll guy, not a good shooter, but like he can run an NBA team for a bit.
You're wrong. So wrong.
I'm just trying to get the most optimistic Sacramento fan.
That is the rosiest
mindset.
Glasses I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the rosy view.
He is so bad.
So
what a bad point guard. I'm with you. I think that is a 15-win basketball club in the Western Conference.
I give them 27.
No, I think they win 15 games. I think they have two injuries, either
this
Boogie,
is a win for IPAs.
Either Boogie or, speaking of, let me get another IPA. Either Boogie or Rudy Gay gets injured, and they are effed for the rest of the year. I just think they're a terrible ball club. Didn't they outsource their draft pick? Like, they went to social media and asked, who should we draft?
A lot of guys did that. I know, because Robert Pera did the...
Lot of very good franchises. No, The Kings went on social media and say, hey, who you want us to pick?
That's just
and they went with it. No, that's ridiculous.
If you watch their...
who misses the Maloofs?
They did a war room thing.
Yeah.
And their owner took that war room over and took Stauskas, which not a good pick.
Grantland has done a lot of... They've shown that video a lot.
I haven't seen it.
Where
is it amazing?
It's the war room thing where the owner looks to everyone in the room and goes, Stauskas? Stauskas? And everyone nods. And so it's like, it's clearly sickening. Everyone just saying yes sickening. To the owner.
So that's where we're at. I think the worst team in the NBA, minus the Philly 76ers.
Lakers are worse.
That's, yeah.
We move on to the Spurs. The over-under, 56.5. What say you, Chuck?
I think they're going to win 12 games.
He's still bitter.
The Cavs and the Spurs are
combined for 25 wins. one of them is going to win 13. I don't know which one. But, that's a 58 win team, so I'm going to go over. I really think
I'm at 58 as well.
Yeah, I really think that squad is well coached, deep.
I don't think there's a lot to say about them. I think it's second verse, same as the first.
Yeah,
the only thing that puzzles the shit out of me is the Austin Day transaction.
It's funny that Austin Day gets to be on that team.
It's really bizarre, but I don't think there's a lot to say. I assume you're going over as well.
Yeah, I actually wrote 58.
Oh, I
mean, yeah, let's move on. They're so good.
Yeah, yeah. Why even talk about them? The Spurs, yeah, they're great. Blah, blah, system, blah, blah, pop, blah, blah, team. Okay,
yeah. Good. 49.5 over under for the Houston Rockets.
Oh.
Can I start this one?
Yes, please.
I think the Rockets suck. Relatively. I don't like Kevin McHale, and I think that they did not. I always thought they would address the point guard situation and get someone to back up Beverly. But they didn't.
Like Ramon Sessions?
And they lost a person. They actually lost a replacement level backup in Jeremy Lin.
If Jason Terry is your backup point guard, and I think that's how it's going to be.
It looks like it.
That's fraudulent team management.
There's no player in the NBA
stealing
I hate
money.
Worse than Jason Terry.
You don't like the Jet? Mm. I only have them winning 41 games. That's not a bad team, but compared to where they should be.
That isn't sniffing the playoffs.
No, I do not have them in the playoffs. And I know this is probably a foolhardy of me, but perhaps it's just because I truly loathe watching them play. I don't like watching free throws.
Yeah.
But I also don't think that you can win with this type of team right now, with Kevin McHale at the helm.
I think on a fundamental level, you're looking at that team last year basically the same. I mean, Asik is gone. It's worse. It's a worse team. But let's say it's the same, and the only thing you've replaced is Trevor Ariza and Chandler Parsons. That's a worse team.
It's a wash.
It's a worse team. I know. I think Trevor Ariza is a worse player than Chandler Parsons on the offensive end. And I think Ariza is a little bit defensively better.
I have them just barely. It's 49.5.
Yes.
I wrote them in at 49. So just barely, but the way I have it breaking down, I think 49, they might miss the playoffs because it's going to be, you know, all the teams are going to be fighting around that level.
I think a 45 win team in the West gets in this year.
It's possible. It could regulate out like that. Mm-hmm. I'm with you guys. I don't think they got better.
They got worse.
Their backups are, and if Dwight Howard, you know, like misses eight games, they got what, Tariq Black.
If Dwight Howard misses anything, they are dead.
No. Yeah,
I will say dead. About them being unwatchable.
Tariq Black was not good at Kansas. He's not going to be good in the NBA. That's one of the strangest players I saw checking in. He checked in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Tariq Black, who did not start for the Kansas Jayhawks,
it's
checking
true.
In the first quarter.
One of the things I really enjoyed about the FIBA World Cup, everyone said, like, you know, the refereeing is really inconsistent and crazy. The one thing I loved about the international refereeing is they did not reward players who threw themselves into other players. So James Harden would just repeatedly drive towards the basket, throw himself into the defender, and look at the ref. And the ref's like, what? Oh,
what a breath of fresh air.
They were like, what? You did that. You know, and that I actually wish in NBA they would move more to that, where
they
if
surely,
you strike your defender, like, it's nothing.
They
have
an issue with
that.
Not.
I have an issue with that because that would render
you are a Dwayne Wade fan.
That would get rid of Dwayne Wade's first title.
Yeah,
it's gone. True.
Yeah. I mean, it would be the Miami.
So we're
Solitors.
All under then.
I find it. I have them right at 49. So that's right where Vegas.
Yeah,
has them.
I don't like them.
This brings us to a much more interesting and fun to watch team, the Pelicans, 41.5.
Cool.
Over under, Keith. What have
I'll
you?
Jump in. I have him at 41.
I also have him at 41. So
I think this seems like a perfect 41-41
slimmest,
team.
Slimmest of unders.
You know, obviously Anthony Davis is amazing. I don't love their backcourt situation. Eric Gordon and Jrue Holiday and Tyreke Evans, and then their backups are kind of weird. I don't get it. I think Tyreke Evans is a good player for them. He finds ways to get him Anthony Davis the ball and get other guys involved. Omar Asik, I think, is a great pickup. That front line is really good. But the West is too tough. So, yeah, 41-41.
It's not a well-run franchise. Without Anthony Davis, we wouldn't be having – this wouldn't even be an over-under talk, I don't think. I don't think, you know, if Alexis Ajinka is their starting, you know, power forward or Ryan Anderson, we're not doing this. I have him just slightly under. I do believe in Anthony Davis.
So good.
I do believe in him, and I think he's going to power them to a 500. He's going to make this a 500 team when they're not a 500
team. And that's impressive.
But that doesn't make them a playoff team.
Agreed.
Absolutely not. Not in a playoff team. What do
you got,
Chuck?
Here's the thing. You've got, I think, the third best player in the NBA in Anthony Davis. I think he's going to average close to, you know, 4 blocks a game, 12 rebounds, and 25 points.
Ooh.
I really think he will.
He put up an Akeem Olajuwon stat line.
Yeah, he had 9 blocks last night.
Yeah, I mean, they took him out with a lot of time.
Yeah,
left.
So you know, you're looking at probably the next generation's, you know, Tim Duncan. I'll go Tim Duncan.
I think he's a much more dynamic player.
Yeah, as far as like playmaking is concerned. So
to me, he's the next Shaq as far as like a guy who is a big man who
can
just,
affect
just
the ball
takes
game.
Over a game. And
you know, I think they've built a decent lineup around him. I think Ryan Williams and Omar Asik are decent pieces in that front court that can allow Davis to flourish. And I think they win 48 games.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. We have an over.
That's big.
Yeah.
In my New Orleans Pelicans dreams, I think back to a time where they didn't trade for the 17th best point guard in the NBA.
What the f*** was that?
And instead, they now have Nerlens Noel backing up Davis and Asik, and they drafted Alfred Payton to
All
be the point guard.
To Drew the Damager.
Amazing.
Drew the Damager. That's
but
what I would like it.
It's not – he's not a
And Drew – because also the good thing about Jrue Holiday – the spelling of Drew, you cannot argue with.
No.
J-R-U-E.
That is phonetically
That is
correct.
How you say Drew.
And that's the last Drew. Word on the New Orleans Pelicans. This brings us to, we have two more teams left, two of the more interesting teams, at least in my eyes. Dallas Mavericks, 49.5 over-under, says Vegas. What say you, Chuckles?
Okay, so I really like the Dallas Mavericks, and I'm a Heat fan, and I shouldn't like them because I should have some innate hatred for Mark Cuban and anything he touches, including the TV show Shark Tank. But I really like their pickups this year. I think Jameer Nelson's great. I mean, Chandler Parsons is going to be a phenomenal player in that Rick Carlisle system. You're going to have severely effective defensive presence with Tyson Chandler coming back. I really think that team can win close to 50 games. I think 48 games is a decent number for them to win.
I'm inclined to agree. I have the Mavs winning 54 games.
That's high.
I think the Dallas Mavericks are one of the better teams in the league this year. I like the addition of Chandler Parsons. I like everything they did in the offseason. I mean, I really thought the front court was an issue. I know Tyson Chandler is not the Tyson Chandler yesteryear, but it's still a 7'2" guy.
Mm-hmm.
I like this team. I think Devin Harris is a very good point guard for what they're trying to do. I look for a big year from these people. I know Chandler Parsons had a terrible first game, but that was anomalous to me. I think this will be a good team. Rick Carlisle's the truth. This is a good team. This is like, you know, maybe the Western Conference sleeper to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have them. What's our number?
50. Or 48.
Is it 48 and a half? 49 and a half. I actually uncomfortably have the under. I have them at 49.
I have Houston.
I mean, all these teams in the West.
So two unders. I'm the only over.
Honestly, there are six teams or maybe five teams in the West. I'm looking at Memphis, Golden State, Phoenix, Portland, Dallas, Houston, which it wouldn't blow my mind if they won anywhere between 45 and 55 games.
Right.
And so, like, I wouldn't put money on any of them. Like, just because those Vegas numbers, they seem right. Dallas, yeah, I agree. They should be better than last year.
Well,
I think
if they're going to be better than last year. They won 49 last year. Yeah. We're the last team in.
I'm saying better as a team, but also the West is tough. Everything's tough. I don't know how it's going to break.
I will say 49 gets you in this year.
Yeah. I think losing Calderon is tough because he was such a great shooter, but also right. I think it's
a wash with Jameer.
I like the Jameer and Devin. I like that Rick Carlisle also one of the top coaches in the NBA.
Absolutely. I don't think Jameer Nelson will factor in that much. Yeah. I think he plays less than Devin Harris.
They're going to be tough.
And I think JJ Barea getting picked up. I think that will actually
does that
matter.
Swing it?
I know it doesn't seem like it does, I really think they yeah. So they have their core.
They're bringing Tyson and JJ back.
They're bringing the band back together.
Yeah, and you've got, you know, I think Monte Ellis is a phenomenal scorer.
He fits.
Yeah. And Chandler Parsons is another phenomenal scorer. You've got three players who on any given night can go for 30 points, really.
They have a thing that they do. And they have filled the team with players that do those things.
Right. Yep. Al-Farouq Aminu is a wing stopper. Right.
Corner three guy.
Corner three rebounding kind of guy.
Optimistically.
Yeah. Well, he can play very good defense and is a good up and down player when they decide to run the ball.
Right.
You know, Richard Jefferson can play 15 minutes a night and give you good basketball. So, though, I think, you know, Charlie Villanueva is decent.
He can shoot threes.
He can shoot. So they have pieces for their system.
It's Tyson Chandler and people
but
that can shoot.
I really don't think they can win 50 games.
Right. I'm on my own. I'm on an island. And you guys are going to be wrong.
I mean,
but I like the team.
I like the team.
I think they're one of those casualties of the West.
You tell me Tyson Chandler plays 75 games and I probably love the over.
Here's the thing about I like the over. It's the same thing. I think that sort of defensive presence in the middle gives them the girth that they need. But Tyson Chandler last year didn't want to play in New York. It was kind of obvious from his court play. I think him back in that system, Carlisle, Dirk, and Dallas came within a game of beating the eventual NBA champions last year.
They had them beat in the first round.
They had them beat with no extra additions.
Cuban has constructed this team to beat the Spurs.
Yeah, and that's his whole idea. Yeah. And I think this team this year is better suited to play the San Antonio Spurs.
And that's why I have them over, and you schmoes have them under.
Well, they only play the Spurs four times.
I just wrote in my numbers, so I'm just going with what I wrote.
Now we get to the most pivotal an important team remaining. With a Vegas over-under of 48.5, we come to the Memphis Grizzlies.
Ugh.
Keith, I'm going to lead with you.
As a Grizz homer, I do have them over. I wrote them in. I think they're going to win 52 games.
I also have 52!
Yeah, I mean, the Grizzlies are the real good team. Last year they won 50, even though they lost Mark for a lot of the season.
A lot of the season.
They're
20 games almost.
The concern is Grizzlies fans is perhaps the bench got downgraded. They're depending on John Luehr to be the main frontline backup along with Kosta Kufos and Quincy Pondexter to be a wing backup. And neither one of those guys has proven they can do much of anything on their own. When they're both on the court together, it's kind of stressful for Grizzlies fans. But I think they're good enough. I mean, they've assembled a five, like a closing five of Conley, Allen, Vince Carter, and then Randolph and Gasol that you think can hang with anybody. But honestly, with Memphis, the regular season is a struggle for them because they play at such a slow pace. They don't ever blow anybody out because they play at such a slow pace. So they can lose to anybody. They can beat anybody. They just want to get in the playoffs. So yeah, 52-30.
I think last year, that's a 60-win team with Gasol. This year, they're not as good. And that's despite adding Vince Carter, who I think is a sneaky offseason addition. The problem with the Grizzlies is that this is an aged team.
Yes.
And this is a team in transition in the front office, and there's some strife between the coach and the front office, and that's gonna play into it, I think. I don't know if this team has an identity moving forward. They have their old identity. They don't have their identity moving forward. I think Robert Pera has new ideas for it, but I still think it's a 50-win team so long as Gasol stays healthy.
Yeah.
Okay. If Gasol gets hurt, this is not even a good team.
Agreed.
No. Well, you've got probably a top 15 player in the league in Gasol.
Yeah. Doesn't show up on the score sheet, but he just one of those guys
overall,
who does things that you don't
does
always
every little
see.
Thing.
Yeah. Although, good Lord, first game, God have mercy.
He went off, and I like that. Here's the thing. You got 45% from Mike Miller last year. He's gone.
From three, yeah.
Replaced by Vince Carter.
Yeah, right. I really think Vince Carter and, you know, Vince Carter's a Mike Miller wash. I don't think you replace a guy like Ed Davis who does very little. And when with a guy like Gasol going out.
He was the only player with James Johnson.
I love special.
They could dunk.
Right. Those are James
only two guys
Johnson's the biggest loss.
James Johnson's gone to the Raptors. You know, you're looking at a team who I think isn't as full in depth.
We're in agreement.
Really, my biggest issue is the Grizzlies not keeping Michael Beasley. that's a big deal.
I love it. I believe. I mean, the story hasn't.
Are you over or under?
What is it?
48.5.
I'm going to go under. I think they're one of those casualties of a deep West.
All right. I think that does it. I believe
Beasley scorned the Grizzlies, not the other way. Yeah, they gave him a shot. But anyway, all right. So that's wrapping up the Western Conference. Thanks for listening to Fast Break Breakfast. And check us out on Twitter.
Did we talk about what we had for breakfast?
Fast Break Break.
I had spam. Did you have spam? I think we all had spam.
We had spam.
Well, I had muesli.
Did you?
But on the spam.
I had a sesame seed Dunkin' Donuts bagel.
Anyway, you guys enjoy the rest of your days. Thanks for listening.
With fava beans.